In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the Blessed Month of Ba'una. And the gospel of this Blessed Sunday is about how we ought to pray. The disciples approached the Lord Christ and asked him, O Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord taught them what to say and the aim of the prayer and which attitude they should come to him with. Prayer is not just a few words we utter before God so we feel good about ourselves and we feel like we satisfied him and then he will be happy with us. We should be looking at prayer as the most important work actually that we might be doing throughout the whole day. How we should pray, what we should say is something that should be dictated by God, not by what we think is good. So how we ought to pray, how the Lord taught the disciples to pray. We find him answering their question saying, he said to them, when you pray, say. What he said to them was not a recommendation or a suggestion or it would be good if you pray this way. He gave them exactly the word that they should be saying before him. Worship is a gift. And we offer it to God based on what he thinks is good, not what we think is good. Worship is a gift dictated by the receiver, not by the giver. That's why the church teaches us how to pray and what to say. There is no here suggestions about what we say. Actually, we should be saying what God is expecting us to say. In the Old Testament, we find the Lord gave the Israelites exactly what they should be doing, how many moves should be done by the priest, in which way he should slain the sacrifice and offer it on the altar, what to say when he stands, when he sits. Everything was given in details in order that the Lord would enforce in the mind of the people that when it comes to worship, we worship him according to what he is expecting from us, not from what we think is good. That's why the way we worship is repeated. We say the same liturgy over and over simply because the receiver doesn't change. Yes, we change. Yes, we sometimes feel like I want to say something new. But God doesn't change. And what pleases him still pleases him. That's why the angels in heaven, they say the same words over and over and over without being tired or bored or without the Lord saying to them, say something new. He is the same today and yesterday and tomorrow and forever. That's why the words that he says we should ought to pray with, we should be using it all the time. That's why we use the Lord's Prayer in all of our services, at the beginning, at the end, in the middle. We repeat it many, many times, acknowledging that these are the words said by him. These are the words that we ought to pray to him with. What should be the aim of the prayer? The prayer, as well as the whole life, should be aimed at hallowing his name. At the beginning, he said that, when you pray, say this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. To be honored, glorified is your name. It is not just words that we say in prayer. This should shape our mind in how we should live our lives. The whole aim of the life is to hallow his name, to glorify and exalt his name. We are not living our current life in order to make money and trade in business and bring children to life and rejoice whenever they become successful. This is not the target. This is not the aim. Our prayer teaches us how to live. And how to live means to hallow and glorify his name. Anything that might hinder me from this purpose is something that I need to look at it carefully. When we pray, we remember that this is the aim and the same things that we say to hallow the Lord's name and glorify him in our lives and the lives of those people whom we serve. How we ought to pray. Those who pray are those who feel the need and are aware of their poverty. The Lord, after he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he gave them the parable of the friend who had visitors and then he has a need for bread. He went and he knocked on the door of his friend asking, can I borrow from you these breads? I have visitors and I have nothing. This is exactly how we should feel and this is exactly what is going to trigger us to pray. We have a need and we do not have anything. We cannot make it without him. That's why we go and knock on the doors of his mercies. Why we are slack to pray? Either we are confident that we have it, or we think that he might not provide, or actually we might not feel the need altogether. That we feel like it's okay, we can make it in our lives by ourselves. If we go outside in the world in the beginning of the day without prayer, what does it mean? This means that I don't think that the prayer will make any difference, or I don't feel exactly the need. Those who pray are those people who are very much aware of the need and very much aware of their poverty, that they cannot provide for themselves or for their children or for those people whom you care about. Yes, you might go outside and work and bring food and provide to your family, but what about changing the heart of your son or your daughter? What about speaking in his mind to be wise and to choose what is good and beneficial? How can you do this? You can give him or her lectures for days and days and days with no avail whatsoever. Who can touch the heart of him or her? It's only him. If I feel I cannot make it, then I have only one door to knock at, the door of the mercies of the Lord, asking him that he would do it for me. If I feel the need that I need to change, there is something I know it is not going right in my life. There are certain things I am aware that I need to change. Then I have no other way except to go for him to change me. Who of us can change himself? Basically, everyone is content of whom he is, and he feels like I'm okay, I don't have to do anything. I am doing the best for myself and my family. If I'm still thinking this way, then unfortunately, I still did not recognize the need. If I still think I can make it by myself, then I am not aware of my poverty till now. How we ought to pray. The attitude in prayer is very important. Our prayer is received not just by a friend, but by a loving father. It makes the whole difference when we approach God, knowing that he is a father who is willing to receive our prayers. He delights in seeing and receiving us. He will always be ready to receive us. We all as parents here think, or we know very well, that whenever my son comes asking something, I will never shut him out. I will never tell him not to talk with me anymore. I am tired of your requests. How many years have been I serving you? We never think this way. If we still evil people do this to our children, what about God, the gracious and merciful, the compassionate? How we should be thinking of him? If I know that I'm approaching a father, I wouldn't hesitate to go and ask. If I know and believe that he will always be there for me, how we come slack in prayers and feel like I'm tired of praying, I don't want to talk with him, I'm not sure if he listens to me or not, we should not be given into these thoughts of doubt about his kindness and his love towards us. We should not doubt the response to the prayer, yet we need to check the seriousness of how we ask. The Lord gave a promise without exception: ask and you receive. Then why sometimes we do not receive? I'm not speaking here about material things. This actually given to us and to all people without even asking about them. These are given with no request whatsoever. We see in the parable that the Lord said about the friend who went to ask his friend for the bread. Yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Sometimes we ask, but we are not serious. That's why God doesn't look to our request, because simply we are not asking with persistence. If I ask him for a certain virtue, I recognize and I know my limitation when it comes to the virtue of love. I know I'm coming short in this. And I do not ask God, or I just say to Abuna, pray for me, and I do not pray for myself. Why God would move and give me this treasure? If I'm not serious in asking, why should I expect that God will look at my request and give it to me? The treasure box that God has, he opened it only before the people who are persistent in asking. Remember the woman that has a daughter who is possessed by demons, the woman from Canaan. She kept on going after him and nagging with him, no, you will give me. I am not going to leave you. Even when the Lord said to her that it's not fit to take the bread of the children and give it to dogs. She did not even feel the insult. On the contrary, she kept on asking, even so, even if we are dogs, I will still come and ask, I have a need. She was serious in her request. She was persistent, and that's why she received. We all do this when we care about the request. If you have a request, and this, for example, should be answered by the governor of Texas, you will submit it, bring someone to intercede on your behalf, you will send another letter and another email, I have a request, please look at it. You will do whatever it takes in order for the person whom you are submitting the request to will look at it and will consider it. But when it comes to God, or comes to something that's really precious, sometimes we say the words very in a very slack way and feeling like, okay, I just said it to God, or if he is going to look at it, he will look at it. This is not how we ought to pray. We should be always serious in asking, knowing and believing that we will always receive. How we ought to pray. The Holy Spirit and his work in us should be the most precious request in our prayers. This is what the Lord said indirectly. How? He said that if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God saying that I am willing to give you the most precious gift ever given to man if you ask for it. And what he said about this gift, it is the Holy Spirit himself. This should be also one and the most important request in our prayer. I ask for the Holy Spirit working in me, having this sense that when the Holy Spirit will come in my heart, he will change me, he will comfort me, he will rebuke me gently to make me to change. He will give me the fruits by which I can live as a Christian, witnessing to God all times. This is the most precious gift that God might give, and he already gave it to those people who believe in his name. We should be asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he came upon the disciples, changed the whole church, changed the whole world. Those people who are simple people, they are not well-educated, they did not learn how to communicate with others and give presentations. They went and preached Christianity and changed the whole world. What happened? It is the work of the Holy Spirit upon them. If the Holy Spirit will come upon us and work in us, then by this we can change, and we can change those people who listen to us. The Lord taught the disciples what to say, the aim of the prayer, in which attitude they should be coming to him, and what they should be asking him to give. Let us review this and check this when we are approaching him in prayer. What we say should be according to his good will. The prayer as well as the whole life should be aimed at hallowing his name. Those who pray are those who feel the need and are aware of their poverty. Our prayer is received not just by a friend, but by a loving father. We should not doubt the response to the prayer, yet we need to check the seriousness of how we ask. The Holy Spirit and his work in us should be the most precious request in our prayers. To him is the glory forever and ever.